selection of December 25th also addressed a second issue, this being that the end of December was filled with pagan gatherings and festivities in honor of the sun god, as the days slowly began to become longer, the winter solstice as we know it. Christians were falling back to pagan temptations with these festivities. Thus, the church fathers wanted to provide them with their own reason to celebrate, if we could put it that way. When the selection of December 25th, there then became that 12-day period between December 25th and January 6th. Thus, the 12 days of Christmas that bridged the birth with the baptism. And it became a festal period of time of great joy and of celebration.
Welcome to another edition of Come Receive the Light. And yes, we're well aware of the fact that December 25th has come and gone, but for the Orthodox Christian, those 12 days of celebration have just begun. I'm sure you're familiar with the song that recounts all the gifts given during the 12 days of Christmas, but the title is where the similarity between what the song talks about and the reality of what should be happening ends. If this is the first time you're hearing that there is more to the 12 days of Christmas than a partridge in a pear tree, etc., etc., then the next few minutes will be especially fun for you and meaningful. We hear the phrase, the meaning of the season, often at this time of year, and we're going to define what some of that meaning is on this broadcast. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, the president of Hellenic College and Holy Cross School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts. We're on the web at myocn.net and also on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. This radio station, of course. If you're new to the broadcast, welcome. If you're a longtime listener, please let your friends know that we're on the air and encourage them to go to the website and join us when they can. Our first guest talking with Father Chris today is Father Andrew George of the Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church in Cranston, Rhode Island, the greater Providence, Rhode Island area.
Welcome, Father Andrew.
How are you doing, Father Chris? Nice to be with you on the phone here.
Well, Father, I have to be upfront with you. There seems to be a bit of an understanding regarding the 12 days of Christmas, as many celebrate the 12 days before Christmas, while the Orthodox tradition is to celebrate the 12 days between Christmas and Epiphany. So why should we delay the celebration until after Christmas?
I think it's like putting the horse before the cart type of situation. You pre-celebrate, then you're worn out when the real day gets there. I think it defeats the purpose. Society, unfortunately, as you're saying, there's all this early decorating, all the early parties. Here in Rhode Island, I don't know if this exists in other areas of the country, but there's two or three radio stations that begin playing Christmas music from late October.
My goodness.
And certainly at Thanksgiving. And there's a 24-hour station that does Christmas right away from Thanksgiving Day. And then they cut it off on Christmas Day at 6 o'clock. They cut it off. When you reach Christmas, they stop playing Christmas music. Many lament that the stores are decorated for Christmas, of course, from the end of October. An example, I think, of overstressing, I would call it early stressing the people out for this wonderful event, this Christian holy day. But that can spill into the homes as well. We see it in the stores. I think our people are kind of challenged or say, well, let's decorate the house too. The stores are decorated, so they begin to decorate in their homes early. You see a lot of this happening right after Thanksgiving, and I think innocently, there's extra hands around the house at Thanksgiving, families gathered and whatnot. So they begin to put up the Christmas decorations for ease and convenience. But I think it's bad. I really think it's bad to do that.
Let's talk for a minute, Father, about what you can recommend families can do while they are preparing for Christmas, while society, is running around them and celebrating. Imagine you wouldn't want anyone to be like an old Scrooge. So let's talk about that a bit.
Well, hopefully they take advantage and live the Orthodox pattern of preparation. And a lot of that is that we have the opportunity, as we said earlier, extra prayer, extra fasting, extra charity. Concerning the extra prayer, there's a lot of the preparatory services that commemorate some major saints on the church calendar.
Can we talk about specifically about the saints that are celebrated with that 12 days of Christmas? Can we go through those together?
Yeah, I think, again, the correct 12 days of Christmas, we need to remember, starts with Christmas and then onward. It may be good for your listeners if perhaps we review the history of that, how we got the 12
sure.
days of Christmas.
Let's do that.
The early Christian church, we need to remember the structure of the holidays and services and Lenten seasons changed in history. It was developed. It went through a process of change and adjustment and was tweaked in a certain respect. The early Christian church, as they designated these dates to commemorate the events in the life of Christ and the Virgin Mary later on in history, but initially with the events of Christ's life, selected January 6th as the date to observe both the birth and the baptism of Christ together. Then in the early 4th century, it was felt by the church leadership that a distinction should be made between the two observances, between the birth, taking on the flesh, and the baptism of our Lord. And thus they selected December 25th to be the date to celebrate the birth of Christ and to keep January 6th, the commemoration of his baptism. Of course, in his lifespan, there's 30 years between that. But again, it's the birth on the 25th and the baptism on January 6th. The selection of December 25th also addressed a second issue, this being that the end of December was filled with pagan gatherings and festivities in honor of the sun god, as he became victorious over the god of darkness, as the days slowly began to become longer, the winter solstice as we know it. Christians were falling back to pagan temptations with these festivities. Thus, the church fathers wanted to provide them with their own reason to celebrate, if we could put it that way. This, of course, being the birth of the Son of God, who made the sun. When the selection of December 25th, there then became that 12-day period between December 25th and January 6th, thus the 12 days of Christmas that bridged the birth with the baptism. And it became a festal period of time of great joy and of celebration. As time progressed, January 6th began to be called the Little Christmas in some circles. In the Orthodox Church, January 6th is officially called the baptism of our Lord, Theophany, sometimes called simply Epiphany. Theophany means, of course, God's appearance, and Epiphany simply appearance. The stress being that on the day of Jesus' baptism, the Trinity was made manifest with the appearance of the dove and the voice that was heard from the sky. So that's a little bit of the history, how it developed.
No, that's very important for people to hear, because people don't know history, and they allow people to write new histories that frankly have no truth to them. That, you know, the fact of consumerism and gift giving, it's really out of control. Stores, magazines, TV specials, it's over the top.
Correct.
Well, Father, finally, we've spoken about preparation. Let's talk about the celebration. I mean, Christmas really is a big deal for a lot of people. How do Orthodox Christians celebrate Christmas?
Well, I hope they come to church, first and foremost, be whatever the parish practice may be it an evening service on Christmas Eve or the morning, or many larger parishes, of course, will do services both of those times. There's the breaking of the fast that has occurred, because the food fast is two distinct periods of time during the Orthodox Advent season, that November 15th is always the start date. Up through December 12th is a lighter fast. You have strict fasting on Wednesday and Friday during that period, and the other days are a light fast. But then from December 13th, at least in the Greek practice in our archdiocese here in the United States, I know this varies from jurisdiction to jurisdiction within Orthodoxy, but at least amongst the Greeks, it becomes a strict fast from December 13th on, meaning Monday through Friday is the strict fasting, and Saturday and Sunday, as usual, you can have the oil or wine. So thus, with Christmas, of course, you break the fast, and you eat festive foods, usually including, you know, meat products and cheese and dairy. And it's a non-fasting period for those 12 days up till and through the 4th, January 4th. January 5th becomes a fast day in preparation for the Lord's baptism on the 6th. So one way is, of course, through the breaking of the fast, being in church, receiving the Eucharist, of course, on the Lord's Nativity. And then, of course, family gatherings. Family should always gather. Christmas is associated so much to being a family holiday, and rightly so. The family was formed within the church and within our household, so thus we gather as family. Hopefully we're in peace and harmony with one another. Grudges of the past year should be released. That kind of connects also to the civil new year coming ahead, of course, on January 1st, old anxiety, as we say. But why not tie it in first and foremost the Christmas and the peace that the Lord brought? So the peace as he was bringing to the earth should also be peace to be found within people's homes and in their hearts as individual family members. And then the days progress with great joy through that 12 days. And there's the commemoration of various important saints. So December 25th, of course, the birth. Immediately thereafter, the next day, December 26th, we have the Synecdoche of the Virgin Mary. Also, and this is so overlooked, it is the commemoration in the Orthodox Church of the flight into Egypt. The very next day, December 27th, we honor Stephen the deacon, who was one of the first seven deacons, the main deacon. On December 28th, we have a unique observance, and that's the 20,000 martyrs of Nicomedia, men, women, and children, an event that took place in 302 A.D. At that time, the wicked emperor Maximinian Hercules, while visiting in Nicomedia, learned of a large number of Christians living there and devised the means to get rid of them. It was the days preceding Christmas that he visited. So on Christmas, as the Christians were in church, his soldiers surrounded the church so no one could leave. The emperor's envoy went into the church, said to them, deny Christ, honor the pagan idols. If you don't, you're going to be burned to death. They chose death. In fact, tradition says that those who were in the church who were still catechumens were quickly baptized. And the soldiers set fire to all four sides of the church, and the building burned for 5 days. The smoke had a fragrant scent, and a golden light surrounded the church. On December 29th, we have the commemoration of those 14,000 children of Bethlehem that Herod put to death, commonly called the Holy Innocents. Herod was so enraged that someone would take his position as king. He also killed his own brother and sister, as well as his wife and three of his sons. What a crazed man. Hmm. And then day six, December 30th, the deacon Timon is also honored that day. He's one of the seven deacons, as with Deacon Stephen earlier. During the 12 days as well, Father Chris, of course, we need to highlight that there's always a Sunday after Christmas. And whenever that date may be, the church honors Joseph, the betrothed. He's also called Righteous Joseph. Sometimes he's called Joseph, the guardian of Christ. All the same person. But that's the day in honor of St. Joseph. It also honors David the king, who was the son of Jesse. And, of course, it honors Yaakovos, the brother of the Lord, as he's known. But we can also say the stepbrother of Jesus, Yaakovos, the stepbrother. So that commemoration is made on the Sunday after Christmas. Then reaching the eighth day, that puts it as January 1st, the circumcision and the naming of Jesus. We need to remember that in observance of the Jewish law since the time of Abraham, Joseph and Mary took baby Jesus to the temple on the eighth day for circumcision, and he was officially given the name Jesus, the name announced to Mary at the time of the Annunciation by Archangel Gabriel. We have on January 2nd, St. Sylvester, Bishop of Rome from the 4th century. He was actually elected bishop at age 30, and he served for 20 years. He died in 335 A.D. And then on January 3rd, the 10th day of the 12, we have the prophet Malachi. He lived 500 years before Christ. And there's a big span between the prophet Malachi and the next prophet after him, who was John the Baptist. And of course, we're headed in our celebration of the 12 days towards the time when John the Baptist actually baptizes Christ. So Malachi was the one that prophesied the coming and the mission of John the Baptist. We read that in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. On January 4th, the 11th day, we have a very important commemoration, not that the others aren't, but this is a very much highlighted one, the synecdoche of the 70 apostles. This day honors the 70 men that Jesus also selected that followed the 12 apostles, and they're less known, but we read of them in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 1 through 11. As that gospel passage says, they were sent out two by two, going to every city before the Lord himself was to go to that particular place. And then on the 5th of January, the day before the theophany of our Lord of his baptism, the 12th day, we commemorate two people, Hiram martyr Theopemptus and the martyr Theonas. Theopemptus was the bishop of Nicomedia, and Theonas was a pagan magician, and that should catch everybody's ear, a pagan magician that became a saint of the church. In brief, here's the story. The era of Emperor Diocletian is the time that these two gentlemen lived, and of course Diocletian was a major persecutor of Christians. When Theopemptus was brought before the emperor and asked to deny Christ, Theopemptus responded to the emperor's request by quoting what we see in Matthew 10, verse 28, "Fear not them who kill the body, who are unable to kill the soul." And then Theopemptus adds, "Do with my body as you please." Diocletian then sent his magician, Theonas, to Theopemptus to try to trick him away from Christianity. And when Theonas saw that even poison, which he did give to Theopemptus, would not hurt the bishop, he himself then converted. Of course, this enraged Diocletian. Theopemptus was beheaded, and Theonas was buried alive.
Well, Father Andrew, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program today. Thank you for sharing, and we wish you and your family and your parish a blessed nativity.
We wish the same to you too, Father Chris, and all the good work you do for OCN and your parish as well. Christ is born. Glorify him.
Truly he is. All right.
Stress him in the season.
Oh, I like that. Stress him in the season. You're listening to Come Receive the Light, a broadcast ministry of the Orthodox Christian Network. And that's what we've been doing all this month and will continue to do on this broadcast and through our internet and social media venues. Stress him in the season. On our blog page, The Sounding, you'll find a number of postings which deal with the 12 days we are entering. Go to our website at myocn.net and click through to The Sounding page. Also, as we approach the end of the year, we appreciate your support. We're a nonprofit ministry, and there are a number of ways you can help us move more easily into 2016 financially. On the website, just open up the donate page and read through the options and opportunities. We're very excited about the doors the Lord seems to be opening up for us in 2016, and perhaps you'd like to join with us. That website again is myocn.net, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+.
Have you ever wondered if you had any hidden talents? Our next guest was surprised to find, after spending most of his time in athletic activities, that he could sing.
That's Bryce Buffenbarger, a member of our OCN Media Lab team, and a person who's becoming a regular on this broadcast. He recently recorded a quick conversation with our second guest, who is aggressively putting his singing skills to good use. And here's an example as we start.
The Virgin cometh to to bring forth. His own will. As a young child, He who is from eternity God.
With us today to talk about his newfound talent, which he uses to make a cappella videos on YouTube, is Tyler Mancuso. Welcome, Tyler.
Hey, thanks for having me.
In the last 2 years, you've posted more than 30 videos on your YouTube channel. You have a mix between parody, popular, and sacred music. We have even featured a few of the hymns on myocn.net. Can you tell us what inspired you to start recording yourself singing a cappella? And do you have any training?
Like you said, I started out with a family that was focused around athletics, and it wasn't really until college that I decided to, you know, experiment a little bit with music. So I didn't really have any training, but it was just something that I loved, and so I ended up finding a love for a cappella music, and so I tried out for my college group. It didn't necessarily go the way I planned it to, but that was okay, because I ended up learning how to do it on my own. So I'd seen some YouTube videos of people doing similar things to what I do now. And I just thought to myself, hey, this seems like something fun to do. I made a few projects on my own, and my first couple projects were pretty bad, and why I didn't share them with people at the time. But I finally got to a point where I felt like I was comfortable to share them with people, and I was just really lucky that people thought that they were neat and they wanted to see more of it, and it ended up just developing into the love that I have now for YouTube and music and Orthodox and all these different things that are coming together. And I've just been really thankful that people haven't told me to quit yet, so I always joke around and say, as long as people don't tell me to quit, I'll keep doing more videos.
Well, they're doing quite the opposite of telling you to quit. You currently have over 6,000 subscribers and more than 430,000 views on your channel, so you definitely have a pretty good following so far. I understand you have a desire to be a major YouTube presence. What would that success look like to you?
Well, success can mean a lot of different things, and I love YouTube in the sense that let's say if you're just a singer or if you're an actor, you're probably going to have a big company behind you that's maybe influencing you in a certain direction. And what I love about YouTube is that it gives you that creative vision to do what you love. And what I love is, you know, a cappella music and orthodoxy, so I can mix in all these different things. So I love the fact that YouTube is a great route to do that. So I would love to be a YouTuber. If that happens, then great. Because you can actually make a pretty good living nowadays being a YouTuber. And if it doesn't happen, then that's okay, too. The main goal is just that hopefully when people are watching these videos for 2, 3, 4 minutes at a time, that they can find some positivity, find some happiness out of it. Some of my favorite stories have been, you know, the few times that people have messaged me or called me up and said, hey, you know, my son was sick or my daughter was having a bad day and she saw one of your videos and she was dancing to it. And, you know, that makes me happy to hear that I'm having an influence in people's life in a positive direction. So as long as these videos are making an impact in a positive way, then I just say thank God for that, and I hope that could be the main goal of my YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Can you tell us how our listeners can follow you and subscribe to your videos?
Sure, yeah. If you just go to Google or to YouTube and you type in Tyler Mancuso, that's M-A-N-C-U-S-O, it'll be the first one that pops up, and then you just click subscribe, and you'll be able to get notifications when I put out a new video, or you can go to youtube.com/TylerMancuso111.
Tyler, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
If you missed those links, we'll have them on our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Just click on the Listen button and then select Come Receive the Light, or CRTL. You know, this is a time of year when a lot of people are asking questions about Jesus Christ. How comfortable are you with answering some of those questions? Next week on Come Receive the Light, we'll talk about sharing your faith effectively.
He started by talking to people, very simply asking, what's going on? What are you talking about? And it was in that context that he introduces the message of the gospel. And so we need to do the same. We need to find out what's going on in people's lives and how do we make the connection to that in terms of our Orthodox Christian faith, tradition, and way of life, as I like to call it. And then after we've learned about it and talked about it, we say, what are we going to do with that?
That's where we're going on the next edition of this broadcast, and I hope you can come along. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. This is a program we call Come Receive the Light. Do share with your friends that we're on the air, and join us next week at this same time. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.